grab your beverages and turn up your interweb. Solving the world's problems 12 ounces at a time. It's Dudes and Beer. Well, hello, everybody, and welcome to this incredible, I can't even tell you how incredible this episode is going to be of the Dudes and Beer podcast. I'm so excited right now. This episode happened absolutely randomly. I am out in the swamps of Florida doing a corporate gig, working night shifts from like 5 p.m. until 4 a.m., stuff like that, all by my lonesomes. So I had to record one to do, and I contacted John Bowne, and I was like, John, I love having you on the show. I love having you on the network. He's the host of John Bowne Politics. He's also the host of the Blah Blah Show on the HC Universal Network. And John, how you doing, bud?
Good, doing very good.
Always great to be on the show.
And always great to be on. Thank you.
Hey, man. Always. And it was one of those, like, what are we going to talk about? Like, I was literally interviewing someone for Talking Sound while we were texting. Like, what are we going to talk about? And you're like, well, there's the gay cake judgment. And there's right. The pedophile dude running for freaking Congress. And I was like, pedo. And of course it was, I mean, we can mention it was a pretty landmark decision. Go ahead and surmise that the decision by the Supreme Court today about the long-awaited decision about the Colorado cake makers who denied a gay couple a cake.
Right, and the Associated Press said it was a narrow decision, and the ruling was 7-2.
Yeah, pretty narrow.
Yeah. and there have been a lot of gay folks that have been coming out on the air, conservative gay folks, and they are right there with the ruling. I mean, this thing could have opened up hell on earth. It set a precedent for God knows what.
I remember when it happened, we covered it on the Dudes and Beer podcast, and my opinion of it at the time was like, I don't know. I've worked more than one business that has a sign hanging there that says we have the right to refuse service to anybody.
Yeah, don't tell that to Starbucks, right?
Yeah, which their thing was just crazy. Did you read about the because, of course, Starbucks shut down stores nationally all over the nation for their compliance training. And did you hear about the stories coming out of Philadelphia where they made them sit there during this compliance training and watch like an hour of police beating videos?
Right, from back in the day, from the lunch counters in the civil rights movement, which has nothing to do with.
Yeah. So I mean,
a lot of people were very uncomfortable. But yeah. Can I just say something real quick to something that struck me? Is that the fact that I'm supposed. And by the way, I'm boycotting All Star. We'll never touch a Starbucks product again. As far as I'm concerned, it's a communist organization. But it's anti-American at the very least. I can't necessarily call them communists, but they sure look like it. But the fact that I got to go as a freedom loving, Bill of Rights living American citizen, I got to walk into a Starbucks and take on the psychological makeup of a millennial who's triggered by every, at least 3,000 words you could throw out there at any minute in front of a millennial, and they'll just melt into a friggin' angry puddle of molasses. And molasses is probably a trigger word. The fact that I can't walk into a Starbucks and say, I want a black coffee out loud. I want a black coffee. And the name is John Bowne. I want a black coffee. The fact that I've got to know that walking into a Starbucks, I better not say black coffee and I better not say it too loud is completely ludicrous. And now you got homeless people crapping in the bathrooms. They're living in there. You've got these.
Technically, bathrooms are for crapping, John.
Well, yeah, I mean, they're crapping on the floor. Thanks.
Now, the question comes to bear, are bathrooms for public consumption? And that was the first thing that I said whenever they were talking. Good Lord, they're using the bathroom for what it's used for. What the hell is wrong with them?
They're crapping in the bathrooms over there at that Starbucks, man. Oh, God. Help us all.
Excuse me. I have no cough drop on the road.
Yeah, yeah.
So getting into the main topic, this pedophile candidate that is running, what's up with that? What's up with that? Give us it, because you're an investigative journalist. You dig things like this up all the time, and you're doing a report. You just did a report on him.
But I barely scratched the surface. I just want to make people aware of it.
We just had new revelations while we were prepping for this show in like 5 minutes. Right. It was like, what the hell, dude? So go ahead, John. Lay it down. Lay down everything about this guy.
Well, first of all, after I did my report, I had this gut feeling that this guy is probably a troll. Maybe he's being funded by somebody that's trying to divide the right, or he's trying to get enough air quote alt-right publications to make a big deal out of him. He could be completely trolling all of us, but this guy is a mess. And it's not just his recent. He identifies as a quasi neo-reactionary libertarian, and his agenda is against the war on drugs, protecting gun rights, putting an end to foreign wars that protect Israel, and he's also a white supremacist, saying he'll restore white supremacy. Close the borders. I mean,
that's
he's got
always
some
a plus.
Conservative. Yeah, he's got definitely has some conservative issues there that are a lot of people can agree with. But he's also a proud pedophile,
and
also
explain
says
what
that,
you mean by proud. Explain what you mean by proud. Because this is what got me.
Well, he openly. Told a news reporter that came to his door a few days ago from his area that it was his right to rape his own children, that incest is okay, that children don't have any rights, that they're basically the property of the parents. And, you know, proud by the fact that this is part of his platform.
Yeah.
As he runs for Congress in Charlottesville, Virginia, and he says he has the 1,000 votes to get there. So he's got 1,000 NAMBLA members probably who signed a petition. But it gets even weirder than that. This guy last year, actually in 2009, he pled guilty to threatening to kill Obama.
Yeah.
And that led to 16 months in federal prison and 3 years of supervised release. And he's since then has advocated for incestuous marriage and making it harder to win a court restraining order against a spouse that is alleging that you abuse them. He believes another thing that he believes is that you should have the right to rape your wife whenever you want, which is a very
thing.
Well, it's a very uncool
thing.
Just
to say the least. Yeah.
It sounds like extremist Islamic philosophy, ideology.
It sounds like a melange of a lot of twisted philosophies. And by that, folks, I'm not saying that Islam is twisted. Don't twist my words.
I said extremist Islamic ideology.
Exactly. Where yes, and in many cultures in the world, folks, let's not even nowadays, marriages happen at 13, 14, things like that. Arranged marriage still happens in many parts of the world, that kind of stuff. That's a cultural difference.
He He was not brought up in any of those.
Categories.
I'm not trying to generalize an entire swath of people.
No, no, exactly.
I'm just saying there's a section of people that believe that this should be the rule of law.
Yeah.
You know, he raped his former wife and she killed herself.
Oh.
And this guy is nice. he needs to be locked up.
We have a monster running for Congress. It's
exactly.
It's great. That's what we have to consider. That's it. So many people, and that's why it's important for people to do research, because like I said, you did a report on the guy. And as we sat here and talked about him and started Google searching, we found more shit.
Yeah.
We didn't find out about the threat to the president until like 5 minutes before we went on air. And it's like, how's this dude even able to run for Congress?
And according to heavy.com, here's some more. He promotes a benevolent white supremacy.
There's always benevolent white supremacy.
where you have the adoration of Hitler and says Jews should settle New Jersey as a Jewish state and give up Israel. I mean, this guy is he's something else.
What I mean, you're going to displace all the Italian population in New Jersey if you do that.
It really seems this guy is a
we'll have a new Gaza Strip. It'll be right near the boardwalk
in Atlantic City.
it'll be right near Trump Tower. It starts there and goes north.
might as well Palestine over there too, you know, so you can just keep on keeping on. But he also supports limitless gun rights and blames women and feminism for shootings committed by white males. So,
okay,
this guy is if this guy is for real and he's not supported by somebody, because I think that's the next shoe to drop. If that there is a shoe that will drop on this, is that he's some kind of professional troll. But the guy did time. I mean, he threatened to kill Obama and actually did time for it. Now he's running again. He's out. He admitted that he's raped his children.
I don't know how you're allowed to run for Congress when you have served felony time for threatening the life of the president.
My wife pointed this out. Virginia had that ruling where they allow felons to run for Congress.
That's true. I guess so. And that's fairly recent ruling, if I'm not mistaken, like within the last year or so. Because I remember there was another one. There was another state that recently just gave felons the right to vote again.
Well, they gave them voting rights.
Yeah.
But as far as running.
Yeah, that they can run for public office.
Yeah. I'm not seeing anything on that right now, but I would assume that since he's got 1,000 signatures, that he would be well aware of whether or not he could actually run. But somebody like this is a perfect example of somebody that should not be allowed to run for office at all.
Well, and you know, that comes into question, you know, like we do have laws in place. We do have regulations in place as far as who's allowed to run for Congress and, you know, all that kind of stuff. But
he's got a mixed bag there, throwing in the conservative ideals with Nazism, rape, incest, and pedophilia. It'd be good to see if we can get a hold of this guy, because I mean, it'd be a gut-wrenching interview.
Yeah.
But what a nightmare of a human being.
Yeah.
You know, and the thing is, you know, a lot of people will now point at Congress and say, well, he'd be in good company, because, you know, there have been plenty of scandals within Congress. And of course, what's going on over in Britain right now. Mm-hmm. There's plenty going on with Parliament. Margaret Thatcher's second in command, was it Leon Britton? He was accused until he died of being a pedophile. And you got the Muslim grooming gangs that can't even be reported on.
Well, and it wasn't even him. I mean, good God. The hell was that dude's name? He was like a major media mogul and shit.
Oh, Goddard. Yeah.
Yeah. Like it's Goddard. Come out all over the place.
Or Brian Singer.
Brian Singer. That was never really confirmed. But there were people saying that they were paid off.
Sure.
There were people saying that they were at hot tub parties when they were 15. You know, stuff like that.
What was the British guy, though? There was one
that was connected to the royal family for years and years, and they said was a pedophile.
In England, not in Hollywood.
Yeah, yeah, not in Hollywood.
Oh, yeah. Why draw
Skeletor? Skeletor.
Skeletor from He-Man.
That's what he looked like. That's what he looked like. Oh my God, I cannot believe that I'm blanking
Jimmy
on his name.
Still. Jimmy Savile. Thank you. Yeah, yeah.
Yes.
Yeah, Jimmy. I mean, and that guy was beyond a pedophile. I mean, he would go into hospitals and take parts of people's bodies.
Yeah.
Took some eyeballs out of some people. But it may seem like it's all just kind of contained, but it's actually not. There's a larger problem here.
So
it's seeping into our culture.
I've gone to Ballotopedia here, and I've found the federal requirements for running for congressional office. Although specific processes are set by the states, the United States Constitution does establish the following qualifications for congressional candidates. No person shall be a representative who has not attained the age of 25 years, has been 7 years a citizen of the United States, and who shall not, when elected, be an inhabitant of the state in which he has been chosen. The Federal Election Commission is the only agency authorized to regulate the financing of federal election campaigns. State requirements: in order to have his or her name printed on an election ballot, a congressional candidate must generally do one or both of the following: collect and file petition signatures or pay registration fees. Requirements may vary from state to state and according to the type of candidate, e.g. major party, minor party, independent candidate, etc. To learn more about specific ballot access requirements, click on the map from your state below. And he is running for Virginia, correct?
Right. Charlottesville, Northern Virginia. Yeah. I think founders assumed that somebody like this would never run or even be supported. You know.
Yeah. Yeah. And you know.
And the fact that he's being supported just shows that there is a larger problem here, and it's everything from religious leaders standing up and supporting pedophile rights.
Yeah.
You know. To lawyers trying to pass precedents that would put pedophiles in the clear.
Well, and
there's a growing
something that I've brought up numerous times on this show is setting precedent, and that's a lot of the reason why you bring a legal case to court to begin with is not necessarily to win the case. It's more to set the precedent for people coming in behind you. And more to set the precedent of, look, a case similar to this has been heard in this state. Now, this was the verdict, but at least it was able to be brought before the state court. So why can't it be brought before the court here? You know, like if it was seen viable here, it should be seen as legally viable. That's the concept in order to bring these things into court. It's just strange that like I posted the other day talking about how Dinesh D'Souza got out, and I was like, finally. And Julie commented that, you know, yeah, you know, he was guilty of campaign fraud. And I'm like, find me a candidate that didn't.
Right.
Find me a candidate that doesn't have some kind of hidden money coming from some hidden fund, or that isn't being backed by the same person that's backing somebody else, you know, or that isn't backed by a corporation, or find me like the last Secretary of State who was found straight up, not found guilty, but we have the proof, pay for play. There it is. You want to come into my office and talk about stuff, you need to make a donation, but yet still allowed to run for president. You know, like there was not a single candidate in this last presidential election that was not embroiled in scandal somehow. Even Bernie Sanders was under present investigation for fraudulently saying that they could come up with donations for his wife's school, for the college that she worked at. And they're still in court over that. You know, so what is it about our system that just attracts this, you know?
It's well, like it's lopsided too. I mean, D'Souza was a witch hunt, even though I mean.
He made in America whenever he put that out, that made him a target on all sides. It wasn't even the current administration. He became a target on all sides. When he put that book out and when he made that documentary, and lo and behold, that shit came down like months after, you know, like it was not too long after, like within a year, that he was facing charges and stuff like that.
As individuals, we can only contribute $5,000. And so what he did was he gave other people the money and had them contribute it.
Sure.
And it was found out. But, you know, I'm sure that you know, even though that was unlawful, I don't think he should have spent time in jail, but they're making an example out of him because anti-Obama. Yeah.
Well, because he was anti-establishment, anti the whole system that exists right now, the oligarchy that is ruling our country.
Well, I mean, look at this Russian witch hunt. It's ridiculous. They've got no evidence. They've got Papadopoulos drunk, shooting his mouth off about stuff he really doesn't know about, to the Australian foreign minister, and then they've got the Steele dossier, which is completely manufactured, and now today
it's
you've
come
got
out
Clapper.
It's totally fake.
Oh yeah, and today you've got Clapper. It was paid for by the Clinton campaign, by the Democratic National Party. The DNC, you've also got Clapper today saying that he doesn't want to use the word spy. He air quote spy, the word spy. And he's the one that actually was
started
all this
using
time
the word
saying
spy.
He's the one that said, I hate to call it spying, but we're going to have to call this spying. Now, all of a sudden he's digging himself out of the hole of calling it. He's making sure the legalese is out there because he's already on record calling it spying. And the reason for that is it seems pretty vague and pointless, but is that when the time comes and it's drawing near, that Mueller's final report comes in, there's going to be nothing in there. It'll be just Papadopoulos was drunk and Papadopoulos'd his mouth off in London. And that's going to be all they've got. And, you know, a few things here and there, which really don't add up to anything. And then we're going to look these people squarely in the face, Mueller and Clapper and Brennan and Comey and Clinton and so on and so forth, Strzok and Page. And we're going to say, you know, by then it's probably going to be a $10 million bill. The last I checked, it was $7 million taxpayers have already spent on a coup.
Yeah.
On creating a coup because the Democratic Party was unhappy with how the election went. That's what this all comes down to. And we funded a coup of our own elected government.
Well, and we've allowed the collective government to actively split us apart as a nation is what's, I mean, what's more important than anything.
And absolutely. But it's a coup funded by the taxpayers. That, sure. That can't set – they can't be allowed to do that again.
Well, you know? I can see
gonna
where
you're
coming
from
with that. And
we're going to head into the midterms in November.
But –
yeah,
it,
I mean, that,
and that's just it. Thing. Heading into midterms in November, like I said, I mean, it came out this dude's a pedophile. Came out this dude is apparently a raging supremacist, and yep. that he spent federal time because that's federal time, folks. Whenever you say yep. I want to kill the president, and this is not hey, any entities listening, this is not me saying this. I am quoting the man who spent federal time who said. I want to bring harm to the president. I am not saying this. John Bowne is not saying this. Neither, nobody wants to bring harm to anybody.
On record, not
we love the world.
No, nope, not a violent person. Don't want anyone to meet a violent end or an early whatsoever, especially our elected representatives.
Yeah.
But having said that, I think the guy's a troll. And I'd like to see if he has any background in the military, if he's ever had some kind of MK Ultra experience. I mean, the thing is you put somebody out there,
it would be interesting.
And you see how many right wing people glob onto this guy, and then start pointing fingers at the right even more hardcore and saying this is our candidate. Is that what's going to happen next, or is this guy just completely nuts? And he's just going to go down in flames. But what I'm saying is look out because this guy could be a plant.
Oh, absolutely. I have no doubt in my mind whatsoever that candidates like this, people that do this are working either for a supremacist organization or some other kind of organization just to, as a litmus test. You know, will it happen? Will people let it happen? You know, will people let it happen in a local election? You know, if they'll let it happen in a local election, maybe they'll let it happen in a federal election, you know? We saw a lot of this play out, a lot of this kind of stuff play out in the last presidential election, but where literally – everybody, like I said, everybody was embroiled in some kind of scandal. But to know that there is somebody who actively says, I am a pedophile, I'm okay with pedophiles, I'm okay with this, and they're running for office, that's something to be considered. Did the 1,000 people that signed his petition know about this? You know, did they know his full platform?
Well,
they're on public record now as supporting that platform.
Right. and I would assume that some of those are members of NAMBLA or some kind of organization.
Oh, yeah. I mean, go to a NAMBLA meeting and put up your congressional poster.
Well, NAMBLA,
for the audience folks that don't know, is the North American Man Boy Love Association, who claim the fact that the love between a man and a boy is perfectly natural, and there is nothing at all wrong with grooming young men to live this life and to learn what love is from another man in a physical way.
This could be another reason for Larson's intent is that. Pedophiles and sex trafficking and these child sex trafficking rings are being broken up by Trump, and the FBI has gone to task to really break these things up. And it's
well, and we just had it happen again. It's been all over the news, of course, with the stuff going on the southern border of Texas, where there were 1,500 children misplaced, and it's not the first time, people. For those of you who are like, oh, my God, look at what happened. Trump lost track. It happened like two or three times under Obama's presidency where this happened. And I'm not personally saying that there is child trafficking going on within the U.S. government. But like we said a while ago, there were people like Jimmy Savile, who people said were involved with trafficking rings, who people said was involved with pedophilia, who was involved with this kind of stuff, closely connected with the royal family, closely connected with everything to do with entertainment in England. And after he died, it came out and people came out, you know. And yep. It's one of those things. It kind of like the whole Corey Haim situation, who I would love to have on this show to talk about it, saying that this stuff with Harvey Weinstein is only the tip of the iceberg, man. Like there are pedophile rings in Hollywood and that kind of stuff. To know that exists, like we have Billy Joe Kane from the Radical Empathy Foundation on. You should totally talk to him sometime, John, because they actively work on building VR to help police officers and investigators learn what it's like to be someone that's trafficked, learn what it's like to see these small social signals, that kind of stuff.
Right.
These things happen so subtly, folks. It's not the after school special that you see where it's some stranger coming up and going, "Hey kid, want some candy?" That might be like one out of every 100 cases of pedophilia.
Well, they're trying to happen in this country. The hotel industry yeah. and the B&B industry now yep. finally looking at the Hallmark signs of, because it's really going on.
The B&B industry especially, because I mean they made it in Austin, and I know they've made it in numerous states where you have to get a hotelier's license now in order to operate like an Airbnb anything. So that it can hold them accountable. Cause yeah, otherwise what if somebody's running a child porn ring out of your house for a week and then moving across town and it's by invitation, you know, like it's nothing for people to see people coming and strange people coming and going and kids coming and going from there. Cause hey, it's an Airbnb for half the year.
Exactly. Yep.
You know, man, I had never even thought about that. Oh my God, what a horrifying thought. And just as like it being from Houston a couple years ago when the Super Bowl happened in Houston, this stuff follows huge events like that all over the world, the Olympics, everything. Yeah. They're always talking about the instances of child trafficking and human trafficking going up exponentially. To know that there is a candidate out there in Virginia. What's this guy's name again, John?
Larson.
Son of Satan. Larson. Son of Satan what?
Nathan Larson.
Nathan Larson. Get to know him, folks. Get to know him intimately. This is not a call to action other than let your friends know about him. Let people know about what his platform is before it gets buried away and before these interviews get shuffled away in the background and he's just another candidate.
Yeah.
He's been stupid enough to open his mouth. Now, once he gets somebody who's a handler, he may not be so stupid. You know what I mean?
And so, you know, and then there's the other possibility that he's trying to do the work for the people he represents to give them a chance before they're completely steamrolled by the Trump administration, because they are cracking down.
They are.
You don't hear about it on the news, but they're really their numbers. I think it was during the Obama administration, the entire time there was like 400 arrests. His administration is already, it's like well over 2,000 already.
Yeah, I actively, one of the RSS feeds that I follow is the FBI RSS feed. So, like, I get all those crime stats. I see all that stuff whenever the big arrests happen and stuff like that. And they just recently took down a large ring. And to know that those things exist are horrifying enough. But to know that a candidate is on a platform of supporting them, I'm torn, John, because as an American, as someone who loves the liberty and loves the country that I have and loves the rights that I have and the freedoms that I have, I'm like laissez-faire government. Get up out of my hand, you know, get up out of my house. Well, you have no business there. But at the same time, can we allow, as a society, can we allow somebody like this to run for office? You know what
and
I mean?
It's not freedom. And it's not about freedom. It's underneath it all. There's a layer of authoritarianism, because he doesn't care what we believe, what we have the rights, you know, even children's rights.
He's running on an authoritarian platform, absolutely, no doubt.
Which is un-American.
But the problem is, and this is something that existed pre-McCarthyism, of course, and I thought was really the root of the social experiment of this country is the fact of having candidates from multiple backgrounds, multiple parties. Unless you give somebody a communistic choice, will they know the difference between communism and representative republicanism?
Right.
You know, because democracy, folks, is just a form of voting. It's not a form of government. We are a democratic republic. Republic is the important part. The democratic is how we vote. Republic is our rights and how we live. And under that, part of that beautiful social experiment was allowing Whigs to run, allowing people from any concept. As long as you had enough people that supported you, you could have a party. Consarn it. At one point, the Tea Party was laughable. Then there were candidates. And I'll say we, because at the beginnings, I supported the Tea Party. I supported the Green Party with Ralph Nader. You know, and that was when my eyes were opened, was when Ralph Nader had a third of the popular vote and was turned away from debate. Doors were shut in his face for national debate. And he's like, I am here. I'm a viable candidate in every state in the union, and you were blocking me from debate. And that's when my eyes were open to the system. And I was probably about 19 or 20. And at that point, it became mission for me. I cannot abide a two-party system. Two poles make a lean-to, man. They don't make a house or a teepee. I'd at least want a teepee. Right. You can't make a tent with two poles. It's a lean-to, you know. Two walls don't make a house. They don't make a solid structure. Right. You know,
that's right.
It's a shanty, is what you just built.
It's a shanty.
And our country is not a shanty. You know, no. it's a beautiful mélange, a mix of culture, of idea, of philosophy, and that needs to be represented in our politicians. But that's where the crux of this issue comes down for me is, A, how can we let a dude like this run? But B, how can you prevent a dude like this from running? You know what I mean? Like to restrict him from running is to restrict the freedom that we stand for, and that's the quandary that we're in.
Yeah, but I think our political culture, as it is right now, we've forgotten what freedom actually means in regards to authoritarianism, and we're becoming more of an authoritarian society.
Well,
you know, let's go back to Starbucks.
Go ahead.
when I walk into a Starbucks and I order a black coffee, completely innocent, I'm just this white dude, or so you think, ordering a black coffee in Starbucks. Okay, I just want my black coffee and I'm going to leave. But these authoritarians are going to give me, probably give me a talking down to about ordering a black coffee or ordering it that loud or whatever.
Yeah.
That's authoritarianism.
Yeah, what?
That's not.
It's called
freedom.
A regular That's, coffee, sir.
Yeah. I'm going to call it black coffee every time I come in here. Well, we can't have you in here anymore. So they're going to refuse me coffee, but they're not going to refuse homeless people taking dumps on the floor in the bathroom.
Well,
you know, it's madness. It's authoritarianism. Now, it's getting worse. It's like a cancer, and it's taking over.
I think the authoritarianism is really more coming from, unfortunately, us as a people. It was funny. All of a couple weeks ago, Amy was in the kitchen, and I was watching a documentary on RFK, and it was just before the episode with John Hall, just before I left, and Ronald Reagan was talking about how the last thing you should want is more government control.
Right.
And she was like, oh my God, I can't believe – because like she was brought up her whole life to believe like Reagan is a demon. Everything else, she was like, oh my God, like that's
starting
the most
– makes sense.
That's the most sensible thing I've ever heard. You know, and he also had the famous quote, you know, the worst words in the world you could ever hear, you know, I'm from the government and I'm here to help. the most frightening words you can hear are I'm from the government and I'm here to help. And, you know, we were founded on this concept of government being a large structure to keep things in line in general, but that they weren't supposed to be involved in your life. I think that we as a society, because of our rapid want of growth of technology, because of our rapid want of growth economically, because of our rapid want of growth societally, we have come to a point that we cannot regulate ourselves. So people are literally begging the government to regulate them.
And they took civics out of the school system.
Sure, but we're ultimately the cause of this authoritarianism because we're saying, government, pass a law to stop this. Government,
pass a law. That's what the next generations
are being
taught. You know, George Washington said, government is not reason, it's not eloquence, it is force,
like fire,
a troublesome servant and a fearful master. Never for a moment should it be left to irresponsible action. And he was talking about authoritarianism.
That's right.
That's why it's so important for
that's
us
why
to
he
realize.
Refused, that's why he refused the first offer for the presidency. Because he was like, no, I would be nothing more than the king that we just kicked the hell out of our country. Because we don't have it set up yet.
Well, that and it wouldn't be the – it's not about power. It's about a country being ruled – all of us being able to express ourselves and have the freedoms to express ourselves, to walk into a Starbucks in America and say, I'll have a black coffee and
well,
a French
for
chicken.
The term.
Sorry,
for
that was a Monty Python reference.
Yes. Yes, it was. But yeah, for nobody to get offended by the term black coffee, you know, and it happens. It happens, you know, and it
happens to white people.
Well,
white people get offended. They get offended. They think for black people, and black people generally don't care. The thing is, I grew up in the 70s, and none of the crap that people are putting us through was going on back then. It was just people all getting along and going forward. Yeah. It wasn't. It was just it. You know, there was segregation. Yeah. The school systems were finally coming together. But if I put these millennials in a time machine and took them back to the 70s, they'd think they were on an alien planet.
Well, and I've had the social conversation.
Because people were getting along. And it wasn't about, I'm, you know, trying to impress some black dude about I didn't say black coffee when I went to the coffee shop. Nobody – you didn't even bring that up. It doesn't matter. It didn't matter.
Yeah.
And we got there. You live in America. You're free, you know, and you're not offending anybody.
Yeah.
You know, you're just ordering black coffee, you moron.
Yeah. And, you know, we've had that conversation. I've had that social conversation with people that I went to school with whenever I've posted issues going on in schools, stuff like that, racial issues going on. And my friends ran the gamut of race and cultural background. You know, one of my best friends was Indian.
Eastern Indian.
Not Native American. Another one of my friends, my best friend, Indigenous American. My best friend Danny Franz was from Venezuela, you know, and he was mistaken for white all the time because he had red hair.
Well, it's ridiculous, man.
It's funny because we'll go out for drinks in Houston, and like he'll hear like a server or something like that, like start talking Spanish and shit and start talking shit. And he just like bucks up and starts talking fucking Venezuelan. And they're like, oh, he's like, yeah, motherfucker. Like, I'm not white. Like, you're sitting over here insulting me and you don't even know me, dude. Like, you don't even know me. I just look white.
This is America. This is America. I'm part Irish and I'm part Filipino. I have a brother who's a full-blooded brother who is brown.
Yep.
My skin is white. We married into an extended family is completely Venezuelan. You know, we hear about all of the everything that's going on in Caracas and they can't get their money out of the country. I mean, the thing is, we are a country of mutts, whether people want to realize it. Accept it or not. So, but we also have laws and there's a reason why we have naturalization. There are health reasons why. I mean, they're checking my apartment right now for bed bugs, man.
Yeah.
You know, because I live in Texas and the bed bugs are flowing up on the immigrants that aren't being checked. There are diseases that are coming up from South America and Central America
that aren't being checked.
There are reasons why we have a naturalization process. This isn't about we hate immigrants and we hate people from other parts of the world.
Even if you watched Godfather 2, where it shows the story of Don Corleone coming over, when he first came over, he was sick as a child. And they quarantined him there on Ellis Island. Exactly. Yeah. You know, and they took care of him and they made sure he was well. And then he was let out.
And then what happened?
Yeah.
He assimilated.
Yeah. And
of course, he assimilated as an Italian, but he assimilated that's what we're missing here.
Well, and like I said a second ago, I think the real issue is the fact that we as a society are begging for the authoritarianism. We are literally begging the government to just make the decision for us.
There's our generation and people within the millennial generation. There's plenty of good millennials that get it too.
Sure.
But there's a lot. There's with Common Core and civics being taken out of school and people seeing Starbucks as an example. And saying that's okay. That is everything about what Starbucks is doing is a complete threat to our republic. And it's that serious.
Well, I mean, I wouldn't go that far because, quite honestly, they should have been giving sensitivity training to people to begin with. You're dealing with the public. Good God. I had sensitivity training in 1992 when I became a sacker for Randall's Corporation. They taught me how to treat a customer, right, how to talk too to damn a customer. Sensitive.
That's the problem. Everybody's too damn sensitive.
Well, I mean, somebody got a racist word written as their name on their cup.
Realize your Bill of Rights and that you're free. And now we can talk instead of this authoritarian staring into my phone all day. Man, listen, let me just tell you a quick story. All right. So we've got a boat and this boat was winterized and we were trying to take the boat out. And the mud was too thick. The prop got stuck in the mud, And I'm out there digging the prop out of the mud by myself, pushing the boat back into where it goes. And the only help I had or should have had was somebody who was probably maybe 18, 19, maybe early 20s. And they stood there by the shore, and her or his father asked them for help. And their response was, sorry, I don't care. And that's to me, it's one thing to say I can't help or I wish I could help, but I don't care.
Yeah.
So that this whole, if we go to war, if World War III breaks out, Turkey start, and they could, if the great, they, their yeah. economy is failing, they're not going to pull it off, but they want a World War III in the Middle East. And let's say that entire generation now gets drafted of I don't cares.
Yeah.
We're screwed. They're screwed. They're going to have to care real quick.
Well, and, you know, you're right. A lot of that has to do with education system. A lot of that has to do with our society and the limits that we put on our society. And that's to bring it back to the candidate at hand and things like that as we kind of wrap this up. You know, like I said, it's a moral quandary as a country.
Oh, yeah.
You can't not let the guy run. And B, how can you let the guy run? You know,
right? And we weren't prepared. Like you said, a moral quandary. That's exactly right. Because the morality that runs this country, that fuels this country, is actually supposed to not. That guy's not even supposed to be an issue.
Yeah,
morality has been flushed down the toilet in this country, and we're now giving.
By morality, folks, we mean like the capital M, the big capital T truth,
ethics.
The things that the concepts that any universal religion, universal philosophy teaches you
universal,
to take care of your fellow man.
The golden rule.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, treating your neighbor, you know, as you would treat yourself.
Exactly.
So on and so forth. That kind of and the founding fathers all said, you know, I give you a republic if you can keep it, you know, and they all spoke about morality, that this country won't make it. We all have to treat each other equally with respect.
That's right.
You know, but when I've got a 22-year-old staring into their phone yelling F you, Nazi scum, and they don't know me from a hole in the wall.
Yeah.
You know. That we got a problem, and they won't listen to me, and they can't, even if they do bring up an issue and I have some facts to give them, they won't listen to it, or they'll talk around it. That's not that they don't have the freedom to be my authority to talk down over me. Yeah. I am free to say whatever I want. They're free to say whatever they want, but you know, for a moral reason or an ethical reason or just plain common sense. In the words of Thomas Paine, it's their responsibility to come to the table as a normal human being and represent themselves and the truth that they're trying to get across. But that doesn't even exist. It's just a bunch of whining children.
But also remember at the same time that your truth does not negate the truth of another.
Absolutely.
And that's exactly what this show is about, John. Even in this show, you and I have disagreed on points.
Oh, I'm more than willing when I'm wrong and somebody's right and they prove me wrong. That's great.
I'm wrong.
I'm humble enough.
And
I'm humble enough to go, you know what? I don't have so much pride that if I am actually wrong about a fact or an opinion or a philosophy that maybe I didn't see quite clearly, you know, I'm open to that.
Well,
that's all part of being an American and being free.
And exactly. So much is that point that I actually wrote down some notes to do with thinking deeply this week on the fact of recognizing and owning your own mistakes, like the importance mentally and spiritually of recognizing and owning up to your own mistakes, the importance of it. And I'm not going to give that away.
It's interesting that you say
it's important. A good episode. It's hugely important. It's massively important. Take responsibility and accountability. Go ahead.
Right. It's massively important that you do that. But on the other end, it's not massively important that you protect your self-importance.
No.
By destroying everyone else.
Exactly.
It's not about self-importance.
No.
The higher, the bigger plan here, the bigger goal, the great work depends on everyone understanding what everyone is capable of and is allowed to have under the Constitution and the Bill of Rights. It's not a small thing. It's not a small thing. And when it's gone, it's gone.
Yeah.
It's gone. We're back on planet Earth. And we're under tyranny. And it's hell on earth.
Well, and it's just the fact of we can beg them to make a law, and as soon as they do, it's harder to get the law reversed than it is to get it approved. It's hard to get laws repealed than it is to get them passed. And we need to remember that, folks. We need to remember that as a hard and fast lesson of government. And of self-government and of the fact that we need to regulate ourselves. We need to regulate this conversation in America. We need to be the ones to reach out to each other. We don't need to be asking the government to reach out for us or to build the bridge for us.
So that's our job. As one last final thought, Nathan Larson is a result of the fact that we are in a nation in decline, that we are a republic in decline, because the guy would not exist if we weren't in decline.
I would have to agree with that. It has to do with eyes just not being open. You know, like I said, I mean, we did very you did good research in your report. Go check that out, folks. Look up, go to Google and look up Virginia's pedophile candidate, and you'll get to see John Bowne's report. It's fantastic. But even after the report was just – and that goes to show you like the power of Google and literally how you form your question to Google. Because when we formed the question a different way, that's when we found his prison record. That's when we found the fact that he'd threatened the president and gone to jail for it. Right. You know, and how is it that somebody, you know, who has made public threats against the leader of our government would be allowed in the halls of – and granted, that's happened before. You know, I mean, don't forget about Hamilton and Burr. Like, good God, we had a duel between the vice president and the head of the Treasury, and the vice president won, you know. are we trying to go back to that? So, with that in mind, folks.
Yeah, but John, I don't think Burr did 16 months in a federal prison before that happened.
He did.
Oh, he did? He did no. 16 months in a federal prison.
I'm just playing. He didn't do 16 months in a federal prison before he was allowed to be vice president. No, he did not. That's what we have to consider. If it, you know, I mean, if somebody has had a life and they've done some things in their life and served some time and choose to better their life and move forward, that's one thing. But if you have physically threatened the government of the United States, should you be allowed to run for the government of the United States?
No.
Moral question. That's the moral question to wrap this episode up.
Not at all.
John Bowne, tell everybody where they can go to find your stuff. Tell everybody where they can go breach, all that good stuff. Let them know, buddy.
Okay. Of course, this is on the HC Universal Network, and you can go to YouTube, John Bowne Reports, and find that report he was just talking about Nathan Larson. You can also go to John Bowne Reports or John Bowne Politics at gab.ai. You can go to John Bowne Politics on YouTube. dailynewscollective.com. Man, there's a lot of sites to go. Blahblahshow.com. That's my culture podcast. And you can go to Breach.
Yes.
At is it HC Universal Network?
Actually, there is John Bound Politics. If you go to breach.tv, look up John Bound Politics, look up Blah Blah Show. Those are both on there.
Growing every day.
Absolutely, yeah. Man. You've been getting some great numbers, some good downloads, some good listens since you joined the network. Thanks for being part of us, my man, because I love talking with you, and I love tackling these issues and just doing the stuff that we just did, where it's like, oh, my God, how's this guy who threatened the friggin' president running for Congress? How's that even possible? So, and
right. Right.
While you're online checking all that out, make sure to check us out online, dudesandbeer.com. You can also check us out on Spreaker. You can check us out on Breach. You can check us out all over the place. While you're doing that, make sure to check out our parent network, the HC Universal Network, of course. And, you know, if you can't be good, folks, be good at it. We'll talk to you soon. John, hold the line, bud.
Thanks for listening to this episode of the Dudes and Beer Podcast. To listen to our audio streams or chat with us live, download the official Dudes and Beer app for Android and iDevices, available on Google Play and iTunes markets. For more episodes, content, and information, visit us online at dudesandbeer.com. You can also find our episodes on Breach.tv, iHeartRadio, Spreaker, SoundCloud, iTunes, YouTube, Stitcher, or your favorite podcast service. Dudes and Beer is a proud member of the HC Universal Network family of podcasts. For more about our sponsors and other podcasts on this network, visit hcuniversalnetwork.com. Thanks for listening, everybody, and until next time, drink responsibly.